We're up to Siman Shin Yud. Okay, it's more Muksa. So Sif Aleph is based on a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Amar Beis Amar Rav Haytala De Bisra Shari Little Tule De Kavri Asa. So they had some sort of wooden stick that had the status of a kli that was used to hang, it sounds like raw meat and raw fish, and it kind of got smelly and disgusting, and therefore it was a type of muksa. But the Rif and the Rosh explained that all over, it's a little bit confusing, we'll talk about it today, continue talking about it. There's Machlokes Reb Shimon Reb Yehuda. You learn through Gemara Shabbos, you learn through Gemara Beitza. Reb Yehuda says, Yesh Muksa, Reb Shimon says, Ein Muksa. And it's very confusing because we're really passing like Reb Shimon. Yet we have pages and pages and pages and then hundreds of halachos of Muksa. So how can it be that we're passing like Reb Shimon, there's no Muksa?
At all?
Well, that's an excellent point. Right. It's not necessarily at all. Good. Right. So good. That was a perfect perfect comment. But as a general rule, he holds there's no muksa. There is muksa. We possibly like assume that there's no muksa. And of course, like you pointed out, it can't just be the way it looks. Fine. But this is one of those cases. And the Rif and the Rosh say that Rav here holds like Reb Yehuda. And Reb Yehuda holds there is muksa. But Reb Shimon holds that this kind of muksa, where something is a little bit disgusting, it's called muksa machmas mias. The halacha is not like Reb Yehuda. Halacha is like Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon doesn't hold for muksa machmas mias, and therefore it's not going to be muksa. Okay, so let's see that inside. Shin Yud Sif Aleph. Eitz shetolim bo dagim. Af bi shum shu ma'us, even though it's disgusting, mutu tatzalo, you're allowed to move it. Why? The kaimelam bo muksa machmas mias krib shimin dishari. When it comes to muksa machmas mias, we pass that it's mutter, like the opinion of Reb Shimon. It's used to hang up fish. It's disgusting. It smells bad. However, now, Dershu points out, if something is very disgusting, like the bedpans, the grav shorei, things like that, so then it is muksa. You may have a heter because of kavod abrius, because it's not, you know, Chazal didn't expect you to spend Shabbos with things that are disgusting. So you have a heter to remove it, but it still has the status of muksa. That's the dish. It says over here, if it's very disgusting, then even Reb Shimon's going to agree that it's also, it becomes like sticks and stones and things that are not kalim at all, and then it will be muksa. Now, what does it mean, mutter tatzalo? The Bir Halacha over here explains, I am prima gadim. Shemistapik, he has a suffix. What does it mean, you're allowed to move it? You're allowed to move it entirely? Or maybe it's like a klisha melach talisa. In davka tzakufo makomo, you're only allowed to move it tzakufo makomo, like the hammer, right? Or feel mechama letzel. Or maybe you're allowed to move it even mechama letzel, even to protect it. And Dershu tells us what it says over there. In footnote 27, there's a machlokes. The Rambam holds you're only allowed to move it tzakuf from a komo, and the Balamor and the Ran do not sound like that. They sound like you can move it entirely. So it's a machlokes we've shown him. Are you only allowed to move it tzakuf from a komo, or you're allowed to move it even to protect it? Okay, that is Sif Aleph. Sif Beis is a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Mem Hey Omer Aleph, and the Gemara asks about these different things that we're going to see the Shulchan Aruch discussing. And the Gemara concludes, it's a famous Gemara, and appears a bunch of places, in Shabbos, and probably in Beitza as well. Ein muksa l'Reb Shimon, that was your question, at all. The Gemara says, there's no muksa to Reb Shimon, ela grogros v'tzimukim bavad. Only dried figs and dried tzimukim are raisins. Dried grapes, and dried grogros are dried figs, I think. Why? Okay, so in the process of, let's say, making a grape, the way they a raisin, in the process of making these grogros and tzimukim, they will put it out to dry, and it will go through some process where it will become inedible until it dried, and then it will become a raisin, and it becomes edible again. So it went from an edible grape to an inedible mush to an edible raisin. So Rashi explains, there's two strikes over here. One is that you pushed it aside with your hands, you set it aside to dry, which means I'm not eating it now until it dries, and it went through a process where it became inedible. So since you have those two things, it's not muksa. Now, this also makes your point, I like your at all. So it sounds like there's no muksa term, so this is an exception, where Reb Shimon holds there is muksa. Is this the only exception? So the Beis Yosef brings up the Rambam and Rashi, and he says this is the mashmaos of the Gemara. He has to add in a word. Ein muksa Reb Shimon sounds like this is the only muksa according to Reb Shimon, and that's not true. So it says ein muksa. They add in the words bedavar shu ochal. There's the only food that's muksa is grogos v'simukim. Okay, and the Gro over here, and Mishabur I think brings it down as well. Yeah. The Reb Shimon agrees to what we spoke about in the past. Muksa machmas gufo, sticks and stones, things that have no function. He agrees, it's not a kli, has no function unless you set it aside, right? We discussed that at length. He agrees that that's muksa. And he also agrees that your $1,000 camera that you're very careful with and you put on the side, muksa machmas gufo, because he also agrees that that's going to be muksa. So, like you pointed out, there are even Reb Shimon. They are accepted. We don't pass him like Reb Shimon in every single case. That's A. And B, even Reb Shimon, like you pointed out so beautifully, doesn't agree and doesn't have his opinion in every single case. So here, the Rishonim clarify his words. There's no muksa to Reb Shimon. El grogros v'tzimukim. The only food that's muksa is this grogros v'tzimukim. Now let's see that inside. Shin Yud Siv Beis. Ein shum ochel. There's no food that is talush, that is detached from the ground. That's another exception, right? If it's attached to the tree when Shabbos came in, it's going to be muksa. Even according to Reb Shimon. Ein shum ochel, which is talush, detached from the tree, ha-ra'ui la'achila, which is fit to be eaten. If it's food that's rotten and spoiled and it's disgusting, so then it becomes like a stick in a stone and it's going to be muksa. So ein shum ochel talush ha-ra'ui la'achila muksa l'Shabbos. Now he gives examples. The tmarim ushkedim ushar peros ha'omdim l'schora. Let's say you have a store. You have a pizzuchim shop. Yeah. So this food is meant to be sold. So usually when you have a store, the stuff in your store is muksa. That's what the Ramah told us. Schora. It's like muksa machmas kisaron kis. You're very careful with it. You don't want anyone to play with it because it can, you know, once it's damaged, once it looks used, you can't sell it anymore. And it's okay, but when you're in the food business, so food is already a different category because it's true that this is meant to be sold. But like, if your kids are at the table and they say, "Hey, we want to own a Shabbos, Dad. Where are the pizzuchim?" Oh, they're in the shop. All right, let's go get the key and grab some nuts. And here you go. Right? That's not. I mean, I don't have a pizzuchim store in my house, but I imagine that that's not an uncommon scenario. And therefore, Chazal said that that's not. The food is an exception to the business, that things that are meant for schorah, for business, are muksa. Food is an exception to that rule. So, tzmarim, ushkedim, ushapers, omdin, schorah, mutu lechom em b'shabbos. You're allowed to eat from them on Shabbos. And then he adds other things. La'afil chitim shezaram bekarka, v'adayin lo eshvishu. Even if you put, chitim, wheat kernels in the ground, which are edible, I guess, wheat kernels in the ground to plant it, sounds like. But it didn't yet take root, and they say you didn't yet cover it with dirt. Ubeitim shetacha satanagol. That's an egg that I guess are now edible, but the chicken sitting on them is going to turn them into a little chick. But until right now, when it's an egg, it's still edible. All these things, even though they're not normally eaten, perhaps, and not normally moved, you might think they're muksa, but that's what the Gemara tells us, and that's what the Shulchan Pascha is mutter l'taltalon. You are allowed to move them, they're not muksa. Edible food is not muksa. V'chein tmarim halakutim kodem bishulam, konsens and basalam heim isbashim aleim, mutter lechomem kodem bishulam. They have these dates. They're not ripe. So you pick them, you put them in a basket, you wait for them to ripen. Okay, but they're still edible, right? You know, you have like the peach, you know. Some people like the hard peach, some people like the soft peach. And they're ripening, but they are still edible, and therefore they're not going to be muksa. Aval, but grows in simukim, shemanichim otam b'muktzah li'abshon. The place in the background, the roof where you put it, you set it aside, it's called a muktzah, because the word muktzah means set aside. That's why something's muktzah on Shabbos. It's set aside, you're not using it for Shabbos, set aside away from use, and therefore has the status of muktzah. So the place where they used to put the grogos in simukim was called the muktzah. And they put it in the muksa to dry them out. And though that's the exception to the rule, asurim b'shabes mishum muksa. Why? Because before they dry, they go through a process where they become disgusting and inedible. And decay and shir deh shias richu. And since you know that they're going to become disgusting, he siach daitamem. You have hetzach adas. You know your brain is not on those peros at all. You're totally not thinking about them. They're out of the game until they become ready. They came and dikatarti, and because the grogos with simukim have two strikes against them. One is dachinu b'yadayim, you pushed it aside, you did an action of putting it aside. It's not for me for Shabbos. V'lo chazu, and it's not edible. Therefore, have a muksa. Okay, the mishmas of katan beis. Ein shum ochel, the bedaver she'eno ochel. That's the clarification of the Rishonim, the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber. Because when it comes to non-food items, after Reb Shimon yesh muksa lefalim. Even though Reb Shimon has a rule that there's no muksa, but there are exceptions to the rule. Like we say, kigum muksa machmos tisaron kis. V'chein bedaver she'eno kli, like money and stones and sticks and stones and stuff like that. He said only if it's detached, right? Because if it's attached to the ground when Shabbos came in, even according to Mishnah, it's going to be muksa. L'schora, Mishnah Yosef Katan Dalid. If it's peros or omid l'schora, the avagah domdim l'schora, even though it's there for business purposes, you still have a mind to eat them if you want them. The issue points out over here that if you're an esrog salesman before Sukkis, so Rishon Zalman holds that those esrogim are muksa machmas l'sarankis, they're not considered food, no one's eating them, they are very valuable, very expensive, and you don't let anyone touch them because it's one little boo-boo and there goes your esrog. Even though these examples you put them aside like you're not using them, since they're still fit to be eaten as opposed to the grogos and simukim which go through a process which they're not fit to be eaten, since they are fit to be eaten, it's not considered muksa. The kishiyu muksa, but in today's problem, you need two ingredients to be muksa when it's food. Dachinu b'yadayim v'lo chazu. One is you push it aside, and the other is that it becomes inedible. Okay. If you pick before Shabbos, you're not allowed to pickle on Shabbos. You pickle cucumbers. My wife learned how to make pickles. So if you do that before Shabbos, and it's in a pickling jar, so it's supposed to sit in the pickling jar for X amount of time, whatever that time is. Okay, but it is edible. It just tastes like a cucumber. It doesn't taste like, if you take it out too early, it tastes like a cucumber instead of tasting like a pickle. So that's a dear she brings up footnote 7, that just because you put it in a pickling jar and you set it aside and you're not using it on Shabbos, but because it is still edible, therefore it's not going to be muksa. And therefore, if you decide that you want your pickle to be a cucumber, you can take it out of the pickling jar and you can eat it. Okay. Haggad note, says the Ramah, Yesh omrim, de ein hachona shayach b'shal ein yehudi, v'afil grogos v'tzimukim shabiyado mutarim. So the Ramah says like this. The whole concept of set aside from use is a Jewish concept. It's Shabbos. I'm not touching this stuff now on Shabbos. And it becomes muksa. But if it belongs to the guy doesn't really, the guy doesn't have a concept of Shabbos. There's no, oh, it's Shabbos now and I'm not going to touch X, Y, and Z. The guy doesn't have that. And therefore, the guy's stuff is not considered to be pushed aside, and therefore it will not be muksa. And the Ramah wants to say, even grogos with simukim, his grogos with simukim, even though when Shabbos came in, they were inedible, and they were pushed aside, But the guy doesn't really push it aside because he doesn't have a concept of Shabbos. Mishmur Sivkatu Yibbeis, the Ein Hachana Shayach Lagoy, Ratzalam, and Davashu also be Shomshim Diskatai Ben Ashmashos. We have a rule. If it's Muksa Ben Ashmashos, it becomes Muksa for the entire Shabbos. Velahuzma Be'oyom, it was not set aside before Shabbos. So Be'en Yudhi Lashayach, it's not Shayach to a guy. Guy doesn't have to set aside before Shabbos, he doesn't have a Shabbos. The Ein Agoy Maxim, he doesn't push something aside for the day. The Kev Shumuchan Ishachar, and since it's prepared for use for this one man, the guy, the owner, so Muchan Lakal. Aval David, the Asabin Ishmasim Shumuchu, but if it's attached to the ground when Shabbos comes in, oh, Mishumuchu said, say though, it's an animal that wasn't yet caught, and the guy picks it or catches it on Shabbos, so there, that's an exception. Avshel David Shal Goy, the Kuliyam Asar, Bechim Bissanolad, Gam Kain, Hachi. Why Dershu brings down from the later on that there's a low plug. Chazal did not differentiate. When, if it's attached to the ground when Shabbos comes in, it doesn't matter to whom the tree belongs. It's considered to be muksa. And the Sharatzin Oysir wants to say, you know, the rocks, the sticks and stones in the backyard of the guy are also muksa. His stones are still stones. There's no difference between a Goyish stone and a Jewish stone. Okay, and the Ramah takes it as so far even grogos with tzimukim that were inedible when Shabbos came in. Mishmur Sivkat in Yud Gimel, second line. Vayim b'sefer beis meir shemafakfig b'zema. Oh, the beis meir questions this psak of the Ramah. He came into dach b'adayim. Since the guy did set it aside, he doesn't have a concept of Shabbos. But he has a concept of I'm not eating these until they're ready, and they're not ready. And it's not edible. So, Otto, do you think Mishum the Ein Yehudi who knows saying died to Yosef? The guy also set it aside. He didn't set it aside for Shabbos, but he set it aside. Vayin Sham Shemarich Bazeh. Vagraz Shechanach Rav also. Savagankin Gabes Meir. They argue on the Ramah, and he wants to doctor up the Ramah so that he's not arguing on the Ramah. Vial came first to Mariah Shechanach Dafka, but Grogos with Simukun the Chazu Velo Chazu. Let's say when Shabbos came in, It's starting to be edible already. It's not ready yet. It's not a full-fledged grape, raisin, sorry, but it's getting there. So once it's edible already, it's not going to be muksa. That we're going to see in Sif Hey. Okay, so that's what we want to say. That's pshat in the Ramah. That if it's the guy's stuff and it's already a little bit edible, when Shabbos came in, then it's going to be okay. But if it's totally inedible, when Shabbos came in, it says last line of Sifkat Yud Gimel, Av Ilo Chazu Lagamrei, if it's totally not fit for eating, the Kamel and Afilu Hazmana Lo Mahani Bi Yisrael. So the Jew also can't say, you know what, I want to eat these raisins when they're ready. You can't do that. If Shabbos comes in, it's inedible, it's muksa the entire Shabbos. So same thing by the guy, Bazeh Ein Afkinu Ben Yisrael Ve'Ein Yehudi. So that's how they want to explain the Ramah. Here, let's look quickly at Sif. Hey, we'll see this inside. Grogos v'tzimukim dechazu v'lo chazu. It's fit, but it's not fit. Some people will eat it, but it's not really ready yet. So then the rule is, if you say, I am going to eat these grogos v'tzimukim, then they're not going to be muksa. If you say it's inedible, I want to use it on Shabbos when it's ready, that does not count. You cannot say, I am preparing it for use when it becomes ready, I want to use it. That's no good. But if, when Shabbos comes in, it's somewhat edible, some people eat it, other people will not, then you can set it, it's still going to be muksa, but you can set it aside, you could prepare it. You could say, since it's somewhat edible right now, I want to be able to use it when it's ready. Okay, but by the guy, that's what he's saying. But by the guy, you don't have to say that. Right. So by the Jew, if it's somewhat edible, but not really. So by the Jew, you have to say, okay, I am preparing this for use. I am planning on using this when it becomes ready. By the guys, that's the chiddush of the Ramah. That's how he wants to explain the Ramah. That it's sort of ready, but not really ready. So usually by your Jewish stuff, you have to prepare it and say, I'm going to use it on Shabbos. By the guy's stuff, you don't have to do that. As long as it's somewhat edible when Shabbos came in, that's good enough. By the guy, but not by the Jew. Sif Gimel. Okay. The Gemara has a whole discussion. The Gemara Beitza. Is there muksa for Chatzis Shabbos, or is it not muksa for Chatzis Shabbos? If it's muksa Ben Ishmash, it's muksa for the whole Shabbos. What if it's not muksa on Ben Ishmash? What if it became muksa at 10 o'clock in the morning? Okay, so that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara gives two answers. First, the Gemara says Yesh Muktzah Chatzis Shabbos. There is a concept of Muktzah for Chatzis Shabbos, and then the Gemara says Ikid Amri. There's no Muktzah Chatzis Shabbos, and the Rosh and the Ran and the Rashi and the Tur and Shulchan Aruch, they all go Lekula and say there is no Muktzah for Chatzis Shabbos. Now we have to know what that means. Hold on, they say we go Lekula. What does it mean? So the Rosh first of all clarifies like this. We're talking about something that's edible, okay? But when it comes to moving muksa, so he says that's for sure, it's pashut that there's no muksa for Chatzis Shabbos. That means like this. There's a Mishnah that says that you can put a basket upside down in front of the chicken coop and let the chickens jump. The chickens are muksa. When the chicken's on the basket, so then the basket's kind of muksa because the muksa chicken is on the... So muksa Chatzis Shabbos means something when Shabbos came in, it was not muksa. Then something happened to it on Shabbos where it became muksa, and then in the continuation of Shabbos it became not muksa again. So if it's bein hashmashus, there's no shashil becoming not muksa. Once it's muksa bein hashmashus, muksa told Shabbos, doesn't matter what happens. But if it didn't happen bein hashmashus, it happened at 10 o'clock Shabbos morning. So then we passing and it will go back to being not muksa. So he's saying the whole question is only by food. The question is not by moving things because that's what we see by the sow. You can put it in front of the chicks are jumping up and down on it. And there it says that it's not muksa. As long as the chicks are not on the basket, it's not muksa. And as long as they were not on the basket for bein hashmashus. So they went on the basket at 10 o'clock and they jumped off at 10:30. So then at 10:30, ready, at 10 o'clock it might be muksa, but at 10:30 it's not muksa. So that's the Mechaber wants to say, so by regular moving a muksa, for sure there's no muksa for Chatzis Shabbos. What about eating muksa? So that's what he says. The Mechaber explains, Shin Yud Sif Gimel, Bein Be'isr Achila, Bein Be'isr Tiltul, they're the same. Kol Dabar Sheroi Bein Hashmashas, if when Bein Hashmashas came in, it was Ra'ui, it was not muksa. Im Ira Bo Davar, something happened, Shin Eskalka Bo Bayom, it got ruined, and became not usable, so it should be muksa. The chaz of iniska bo bayom, but then it fixed itself somehow. Like the chicken jumped on, made it muksa, and chicken jumped off, so now it's not muksa anymore. Chaz of etero, so then it becomes mutar. It's not muksa because there's no muksa for Chatzis Shabbos. Not muksa for Chatzis Shabbos means only if it was muksa bein hashmashos, it becomes muksa for the entire Shabbos. If it was muksa for an hour, Shabbos morning, and then it becomes not muksa, it does not remain muksa for the duration of Shabbos. That only happens bein hashmashos. Avol davar shehuksa bein hashmashos, aser kol hayom. Sif dalid, grogros v'tzimukim. Oh, so grogros v'tzimukim shayu muksim. They were muksa. They were set aside. They were inedible. Ukishegia bein hashmashos kvar nisyabshir emruim lachila. When bein hashmashos came, they already dried and they were roi lachila. It already became a raisin. But you didn't know about it. You didn't know about it. You didn't go check on it before Shabbos. Even though the Bailim did not know when Shabbos came in that it was already, you know, a finished product and the raisins were ready to be eaten. And then afterwards he found out that Bein HaShemashas Kvar Yu Yaveishim was already dried out an edible raisin when Bein HaShemashas started. So it's mutter for him to eat it. Someone, one of his neighbors came, oh, you know, I checked on your stuff right before candle lighting and I said that it was already ready. So even though the Bailim didn't know about it, and his brain, it was, you know, set aside, he wasn't going to use it because he didn't know, that doesn't matter. Since it was ready, when Shabbos came in, it's not going to be muksa, even though the Bailim did not know about it. Sif. Hey, we'll do it again. Grogos v'tzimukim d'chazu v'lo chazu. If it's partially ready, but not really. Dikin shidach levigid lo achila. Some will eat it, some will not eat it. So then you have to prepare it for use. You have to say, I am going to be eating these half-done raisins. I azmine nafik le mitar is muksa. If he prepares it for use, then it's not muksa. But if he doesn't prepare it for use, then it is mivilo lo. Avam en ruyim, but if it's not roy at all, I mean, he's minam, he wants to prepare it for use, that's not going to help. Hazmana Lav Milsahi. Okay, I want to do Vav because let's just finish Vav. I mean, we have to go back to tomorrow. We have to go back to Gimel. There's a big Mishnah Berurah talking about the Mila knife, which we don't have time to discuss now. And then we get into Siv Zayin, which is very important. Let's do Siv Vav. Kol davar she'osu l'taltalo, something that is muksa, you're not going to move it. Osu litin taltal of kli kidei she'ipol socho. So this is a concept that we learned already a few times. Called Mavata Kli Mehechano. Mishabur brings down, it's like Sosa Kli, it's like the kli no longer has a function. It's the mukshi, you can't move it now, and you just on Shabbos ruined the kli. In other places, the Mishnah says it's like building a kli because now you can't move it. It's like attaching it to the ground, attaching it to where it is. Whereas this is the rabban mevata kli meichanu. You have a kli; it's roi to be used for all sorts of things, and you put it in a place that mukshi falls on it. Boom! Now it's stuck. Now you can't use it anymore. So called the Rashi also eating tachto of kli kadei shibosocho. You can't put a kli there for the muksa to fall on it. They should also kli betilto because then you're answering the kli betilto. V'nimta mavata kli meichanu, and then you cannot use that kli anymore. Aval mutu lichbos of kli eventually yigamo. But you can take a regular kli and cover muksa as long as you don't touch the muksa. Does he mean touch the muksa? He means move the muksa. That's the whole deal in the poskim. The Mishnah seems to say if it touches the muksa, even the tzach muksa, it's okay as long as it doesn't move. But here we're talking about where it's something like an egg, which is muksa, which will move. That's what the Baragola says. That's what the Mishnah seems to say. So that is shin yud sif vav. And tomorrow we go back to the mila knife and we do some sayim. Bezrat Hashem.